Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio Success Express Business and Career Show with Nancy and Lisa. And today we're very excited to welcome Ilana Rea joining us. She is named as one of the first 250 entrepreneurs on the Forbes Next 1000 list. She is the founder and CEO of Etra, which is a mentorship. Like everybody, let's like start selling memberships now. It's a mentorship platform for girls. And she's the author of the brand new book that comes out March 15th through Simon & Schuster. It is called The Epic Mentor Guide. And I love the word epic because there's over 180 women with their stories answering questions from girls about careers. And it is epic and something that you rarely see. This goes way beyond a textbook and it goes beyond listening to someone just kind of preach at you, you know what I mean? So I encourage you to go to the website, Etra Girls, it's etregirls.com. But welcome, Ilana, how are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm great.
Good. Awesome. This is such a great book. I love it because it's interactive. And this is something that girls were asking about. And I think there's just so many things that I love about it, but I love that it's going to women in the workforce, women in leadership in all spheres. I mean, whether it's space or STEM or fashion, but it's, you know, showcasing these women that want to help the youth. And so there's this connection that I think a lot of times gets missed. And companies really do actually have to look at fostering the youth coming up and through, you know, coming up through the ladder. So I love this. This is exciting. What got you started?
Thank you. I think you're totally right, by the way, that companies really do need to make this outreach. And, you know, the heart of Etra, which in French means to be. So the idea is, you know, asking girls who they want to be. And then, as you said, bringing them directly into companies to meet female leaders face to face. And what we found every time we go in is that the companies are thrilled. They say they wish they'd done it sooner, because I truly think that smart companies these days want more women at the table. And so they really do want to save seats for girls. They want these pipeline connections into the next generation to show girls what's possible, what kind of careers they offer. So I do love the fact that, as you say, it is interactive because these relationships are forming at a really early age. What got me started with the book was once COVID hit and we could no longer go into companies and have those direct face-to-face conversations, we pivoted pretty quickly to virtual mentor pop-ups, where we would just put a bunch of girls in a Zoom and have an executive from Disney or Billboard or anywhere Zooming with the girls. And we wound up getting girls from a wider geographic region. We had girls from India joining. We had girls from Turkey joining. And what struck me was that the girls were asking the same questions. And it did not matter whether you had a girl in Jerusalem or a girl in California. They wanted to know the same things about finding a job, college majors, getting that first internship. And I just kept thinking, why can't we collect all these questions and then go out to the women who know? And that's really how the book started.
How old are you talking about with the girls? What are the age spans on this? Because, you know, young girls could be starting with their dreams at 4 or 5. I mean, we're born with phones in our hands. Now we know what Spotify is. We know what, you know, Billboard is, you know. So how young does all of this start? And what is the eldest that you've had? Because in a way, I honestly think this is for all ages of women. So honestly, why not?
I think so too. And it didn't start out that way. I would say the youngest girl who submitted a question was probably 12. And then a lot of the questions came from high school and college age girls and post-grad girls, fresh out of college, girls considering graduate school or in that first job space. What I did find, and no one could have anticipated, was as we moved through the pandemic, as women were leaving the workforce and pivoting and now looking to onboard into maybe new roles, I have a lot of friends who are saying, I want to know what Bobby Brown says about this. I want to mm-hmm. know what the women at the stock exchange say about this, because they're also moving back into the workforce. So I think you're right. I think the age for which the book might resonate is bigger than I originally imagined.
I think so too, because when you look at the older women in the workforce, sorry for using the word older, more experienced maybe, that have now, because of COVID and personal situations, have find themselves having to look at new careers. And maybe the positive thing of that is realizing they can probably step up and do a far higher job than what they've been settling for.
I think that's entirely true. I really do. Yeah. I think I tell girls all the time, raise your hand instead of lowering your standards.
Right.
Ask your question, reach for something bigger. And mm-hmm. I 100% agree that for women looking to get back into the workforce in a different capacity, aim higher.
Yeah.
And find a mentor, whether she's a peer mentor or someone senior or junior to you, find a mentor to help you reach higher.
I think it really helps too, because we do stumble as well in life. And so maybe, I know there's women, it's like, oh, like Nancy was saying, career changes. And sometimes that could be demoralizing, that having a mentor and knowing somebody up there doing something is, you know, connecting with you mm-hmm. kind of tells you to put your boots back on.
Yeah.
Or your high heels.
Yeah.
Whichever you want. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. keep going forward. You know, with this, are you seeing this also becoming kind of, because we have social media and you're on all the channels and everyone definitely connect with Ilana, that there's a networking that goes on with this too?
Yes. And it's so organic and it's so beautiful. I'm finding from within our own corporate visits, girls who might have visited a company like Morgan Stanley when they were a freshman in high school now are in college and they're reaching back out to the women they met, saying, I met you when I was 15. Could I ask you a question? Could I ask about how to interview or internships? And the women are unfailingly generous with their networking. And then on social media, the same thing. So many questions for this book were submitted on Instagram. Girls would just DM us. Oh, could I ask a woman at Pixar this question? Could I ask a woman at TikTok this question? And the questions came in on Insta. And then when we went back out to solicit answers, same thing. It was LinkedIn. Wow. It was Instagram. I have a girl who's got a question about equal pay. Do you think Lily Ledbetter would answer it? I have a question about facing physical disabilities. Would Haben Girma, who graduated Harvard Law, deaf and blind, would she answer? This was done on social media.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
See, I know, because there's really all the negative connotations of social media, but when it's used correctly, and I think there is that networking, there is a friendship, but also the women just kind of uniting as a big family to move forward. It will help us get better pay, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's that equal pay is good, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, when I entered the workforce, not that I'm going to date myself, but I am. I mean, you could do the same job as a man and be paid almost 50% less.
And no one was talking about it.
And yeah, and you didn't even go into your boss and say, hey, how come I'm getting less than him? Because at least the way I was brought up, it was given you're going to be a mother and a wife. It was given that you're either going to be a teacher or a nurse. If you did any work outside of those two things, it was kind of like, oh, don't even think you can go there. Just don't even think about it. So, well, you know.
But girls today are so courageous and they will ask. And that veneer of, oh, it's impolite to speak about money, I think is fading fast, because girls recognize their worth and they recognize that they can advocate for themselves. And that's a really fantastic aspect. And then the women in the book, when they gave advice like that, Lily Ledbetter or whoever, they added their favorite social media handle. So underneath every woman's name in the book is a social media handle, to the point that you just made, that maybe you can use social media for good. And girls now have 180 new role models to follow in real life. Follow what these women are doing. See how 3M's 100 patent woman who answered a girl's question about patenting ideas, see what her new patent is. Keep following these women day to day. And it is a new, fresh and sort of substantive way to be on social.
It's also, you know, because social also gives a personal insight as well. A lot of people go, hey, you know, I realized I had to just go, you know, you talked about sleep, quality sleep, and those kind of things, right? So there's also that communication of taking care of yourself as you move forward. And, you know, we all get that career minded, and all of a sudden we'll find ourselves at 3 a.m. till 3 a.m. and you can't do that and stay cognizant and do good. So there's all of that self-care part that comes in with all of that and social media thing. It just makes it personal, you know, with the companies and these women leaders connecting with the youth, are they also getting hands-on information about connecting with youth? I mean, it's a huge market. I hate to say it, but it's true. The younger generation is massive, and they are more progressive than, you know, I'm so tired of hearing, oh, it's a millennial thing. I'm really just stop it. Stop it. There's like, look at the girls asking these questions, right? So, you know, there is definitely interest in guys and girls moving forward in their careers. But it's also a way for hands-on for a company to connect with youth directly, which sometimes it's more than just a marketing survey or just a pie chart.
It has absolutely happened. We've had companies say, you visited us a year ago and we've got an idea and we'd like to ask your girls. We'd like to ask five college age girls, 10 high school girls for their feedback. And the girls are brutal with their feedback, very unvarnished, very authentic.
See, that's awesome, though.
Well, that's good.
It is really valuable. I'm hoping that that happens more and more, because the girls want to be taken seriously and the companies need their information. And these are girls that have already asked to visit the company. You know, I don't take girls into any company where they haven't asked to go. So it is generally a company where they use the product, they're on the platform, they already have some kind of brand affinity. So they're delighted if a company wants their feedback.
That's great. Awesome. That's great. Yeah. How did you get started with the whole idea of connecting girls with their mentors and you know, just this whole idea? Because I know you've also come from a legal background, which, you know, we've got to give a shout out to you on that too. When you look at the different generations, how many women lawyers, you know, over the years, it's growing, right? And look what's happening in Supreme Court, just saying.
I know. Well, and probably one of my first mentors was my grandmother, who was a lawyer, and she graduated from law school in 1936 from Brooklyn Law. So you talk about, you know, the mentorship idea, even within the legal field. I had amazing mentors through my career, and many of them were women, not all of them, but many of them were women, and they impacted my life and my choices and my career in such a positive, empowering way that when I retired in 2014, I really wanted to do something with mentorship. And I had been inspired by my daughter, who from an early age wanted to know more about what was out there and didn't know what I did every day. And I felt like it was my responsibility to show her what women were doing, what my accomplished friends, what their roles were. So I think inspired by my daughter and powered by the mentors that I had, I knew I wanted to do something. And I first built a website in 2016. And I thought it would just be free resources and sort of inspirational quotes from role model women. Mm-hmm. The minute girls got involved and I sort of set up a board of girls, all middle and high school age girls, to be my board of advisors.
Cool.
They were the ones that they were not satisfied with simply interviewing women by email or writing an article. They wanted to meet in person. Mm-hmm. And they were the big push. I don't know that I would have thought of it right away. The minute we started going into companies, everything changed. And that became the heart of what we do.
Wow. It
came from the girls.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's interest, you know, and when somebody's interest is that high level, you got to go with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got to feel good. Getting up in the morning's got to be feeling good because you're helping all these girls, you know?
I'm so inspired by them. You know, they mentor me. You talk about reverse mentoring. Mm-hmm. I truly feel like so many of our really good ideas came directly from the girls. After school clubs was not something that was on my radar in the beginning, and a girl wanted to bring it into her school. You know, and now these different clubs can Zoom with a mentor where we make that relationship happen. And then the girls vote. Do we want to hear from a collegiate athlete, an astronaut, a writer? Who do we want to hear from? And girls are Zooming with them from their schools. Again, that came from the girls.
That's so cool. And how do you support all of this? Is it a nonprofit, getting grants? I mean, how This is a lot of work. Yeah.
It is a lot of work. And I, a big shout out to every intern that I have, because I just, these girls are so tremendous. It's not a nonprofit, it's a B Corp. So think Athleta or Patagonia or something like that, where the social mission of what we do is built directly into our organization. So I didn't make it a nonprofit because I didn't know what it was going to be yet. Mm-hmm. And I come from a corporate background and I wanted that flexibility. So right. It's mm-hmm. a for-profit, it's a benefit corp, because I don't know yet what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I think I like the idea that no matter what we become, the focus of education and mentorship for girls remains the primary vein that runs right through it, no matter what the focus is.
It can get bigger and change, and it will change over the years. You know, things change sure. a lot.
Sure.
I mean, look how just COVID changed, and there's, you know, definitely all the negative stories, but this is, you know, when you find, oh, well, let's do Zoom. Now people have more time, and, you know, a lot of learning was going on during yes. COVID and the pandemic,
yeah,
which
time to regroup.
And yep. as while we were still not, you know, meeting in person, a lot more connectivity, mm-hmm. I think, happened, and communication happened, which was great. But having the book, I think, to me, it's one of those where you could just pick it up any day mm-hmm. and read another story. Just from, I for all ages, for me, I think it's really mm-hmm. cool, you know. So for girls, this is something they can get, you know, and just get. Are you going to do an audiobook with it? Like,
so it's so funny you say that. I've been thinking about it, and in my head, what I keep picturing is having the girls read it, you know, getting mm-hmm. a collection of girls and having some read the questions and some read the answers. And I just think that would be so much fun, and I know they would love it. So that is absolutely in the back of my mind. And I think they'd be great at it.
This yeah. is very awesome. Cool. I think it would be great for families too. And, you know, because I think their school is great, obviously, right? Education is great. But I think sometimes in schools that kids aren't getting that connectivity of that social, like, how do you network? How do you ask right. these questions? You know, mm-hmm. so I think you're really bridging a gap there in that push above, right?
I hope so. I truly do.
I think, you know, we've done so much on education in the years, mm-hmm. like really a ton. And the education we're always focusing on is how do you study? How, like, because kids are never taught how to study. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you use your brain? What are your habits? You know, do you take things in by reading or listening? You know, all of that kind of, and how do you set your goals and go for it? More than I have to go to school today, you know, it's going to yeah. be above that mm. to stoke what your passions are, you know.
And
are.
The women speak to that in the book. Mm-hmm. They really do. You know, mm-hmm. Tyra Banks gives a quote about over preparing for meetings and how for mm-hmm. every single meeting she over prepares, and she always did from her very first runway work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a great quote. And there is a focus on education. I think we have, you know, a few college advisors in the book, the president of Barnard's in the book. And I love what they have to say about studying and then keeping yourself balanced beyond the academics. And the other thing I tried to do was to pick, obviously we had the big name companies and the places we visited and the celebrity names that girls know, but I wanted to keep girls close to the things they love where it might not be something that's offered at school. Right. You know, let's talk about the skills that you learn in chess and why they're really applicable in a boardroom. Let's talk about your interest in archaeology, architecture, construction. There's a skydiver, you know, a wide yeah, right. variety mm. of unusual jobs and why they picked those jobs and how they wound up there. And I think, you know, you hope that you sort of blow the doors off a little bit of the traditional frame of options and say to girls, this woman went from practicing law to making movies with Oprah. And this woman yes. went from medical mm-hmm. school to NASA.
Yeah.
It's not That's always crazy. Gonna be a straight line. And schools yeah. don't always approach that, but anything's possible.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And things always change, and you're allowed to reinvent. You talk about that in there, about being able to reinvent yourself at any mm-hmm. time. And we have to remember that, and especially these days. I mean, things are changing. Cars are going electric, you know, yeah. all is changing, you know. So, yeah. and people get all, we can't change. But the reality is,
you're going to have to.
The biggest goal that we, I mean, if we can all handle change and embrace it, we will all do good.
Well, and I mean, look, as most of us are on Zoom and we're using computers, and the digital world is nothing but one big change after another. So if you don't like change, you're so going to be left out.
Entirely true. And the yeah. jobs that these girls are going to have might not even exist right now.
Exactly.
You know, one of the astronauts from NASA talks about the fact that the jobs that girls who are reading this book may have haven't even been thought of yet by places like NASA. Focus on your skill sets and focus on your goals and where you feel the wind is at your back and the subjects that really resonate with you is almost more important than planning out exactly, oh, I'd like to be a manager by this age. Because we can't even imagine yet the jobs they'll hold.
We might not even have real management by then. We might all be in our own little businesses on our own little computer floating around in electric cars from the sky. Sounds good to me. Sounds like fun. You never know what's going on. But I love this. And I think it's something great also for parents. Have you had feedback from parents? I know. The book's only coming out on the 15th, but you know.
It is coming out on the 15th. And I've had a lot of parents say that they want it to be a graduation gift, that they already can see that this is going to be a great graduation gift, either from high school to college or graduating college. And I've had some parents, and this just warmed my heart, say they wanted to make sure that the book got into the hands of girls who might not otherwise be able to get it. And they're donating copies to Girl Scouts. They're donating to their local library.
Oh,
they're
donating
to Girls Who Code. And I love it especially because the CEOs of Girls Who Code and Girl Scouts are actually in the book. But that idea that there's a little movement maybe to make sure that the book is in places where everybody can actually pick it up and read it, every school library, that thrills me. And that's coming from parents.
I love that. Nice. I think definitely in schools. It would be great even for schools to use it as a project. You know,
I love that.
And even parents to sit down at night and go, okay, let's pick a story and I'll have a discussion about it.
Yeah,
you know, because I know it's for girls, but I think guys can learn from it too.
I think it needs to be for both. Mm-hmm. I really do because, you know, I just go back to like some of the things I ran in when I first started working in the workforce, and it was so male dominated. And just, I remember one of my mentors, my boss, you know, it's like whenever we had a coffee break, because I was one of the few women in the insurance field at that time, they just automatically looked at me to make coffee. And so, you know, it's like it used to really bother me, and it got worse and worse. And then one day he just looks at me, he goes, just don't do it.
Right.
Just don't do it. And I'm like, it never occurred to me to not make the coffee. And he goes, just don't do it. Just look at the person next to you. So of course the person next to me was him. So I looked at him and he's like, thanks a lot. And he made coffee.
I love that story.
And after that, the men started taking pride in making the coffee.
I love that. But that is advocating for yourself, right? That's a scary moment to look.
I thought I was going to get fired.
Isn't a lot of this though, like going with Nancy's story, also about emotional intelligence? Because also when we're getting into from our teens and we're getting into being young adults, we do have hormones and we do have, you know, there's something about learning emotional intelligence at a young age and to when to be upset, when to be calm, how to, I mean, that's a thing too. I mean, you know, I remember working and suddenly bursting into tears because someone said something and it's like, well, you're not supposed, girls aren't supposed to cry, but they cry all the time. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how do we not do the crying thing, but it starts at a young age. And so that emotional intelligence is important to learn too.
And a lot of that, I think that emotional intelligence, that inner confidence can be bolstered by an early mentorship. I think that if a woman who works in a really cool place looks at that girl who's 12 or 13 and feels her confidence faltering and says, I remember exactly what it feels like to stand in your sneakers. And I hated speaking up in class. I always felt like I was going to cry at my locker. I know how you feel. And you are not alone, but I'm an engineer here at this amazing place. Come meet my team and see what I do now. That's a reframing of the emotion. And I think that girls can hold on to that. And boys, I'm not saying that that's a skill actually that is only needed by girls or shouldn't be learned by boys. I get asked all the time when extra guys is showing up. I built this for girls. I completely agree with you that the advice that's in this book is applicable to anyone, impactful for anyone. I really do believe that.
Yeah, no, I agree totally.
And as women evolve, there's got to be a balancing out between men and women. You know, there's got to be that, you know, we're evolving and we've always been evolved, excuse me, but You know,
and we can multitask.
I know. But there's got to, we've got to kind of unite the platform, just kind of have this equality between us all. And just, I want that day to come. You know, and I think also, you know, racially, I mean, that's another thing where we are seeing racial injustice in this country and around the world. And so it's really harder for women underneath that. You know, I grew up in South Africa and Kenya, and at my age group, women were, you're supposed to be having babies, you know, and that's it. And kids, you know, my friends were getting married and I'm like, I ain't doing that. I ran and did something else, but you know, I think in different countries, the racial inequality happens on top of being a woman and a young girl. So I think this is also something your book speaks to, is to get through all of that.
We got a lot of questions about how do I ask about diversity in an interview? How do I know if a company truly values inclusion in its culture? How can I tell? How can I make sure that I will be seen and heard? And these were questions that came from girls from everywhere. And I love the fact that the women did not shy away from the answers, and the answers were not always sunshine and light. And it was a very real look at the workforce and the ways to make it better. One of my favorite things was that women actually laid out, these are the actual questions I would ask in an interview. Here is what I would say to find the answer to your question and make sure that if you see inequality, if you see microaggressions, here's how you should move forward. And it's scary in a first job, but there's steps to take. There was a lot of actionable advice on that topic, and I was so grateful for it because it was terrific.
Also just sexual misconduct. In the workforces, and it, and it really, and I think that's a scary thing for young girls and women of all ages, but it, at a young age, it's very easy for somebody to try and manipulate a young girl. So having the, you know, the empowerment before you are in that position is important. So you have that information to, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do when this happens.
Yeah, knowing you can speak up, knowing that you can raise your hand, knowing that you do not have to stay silent. And so many women have written such incredibly powerful books about that topic alone that are there for girls to read and absorb before they hit the workforce. I mean, there's so, there's a richness of advice now on that topic, which is wonderful.
It's one of the management styles way back when really was intimidation. And women were intimidated, and I mean, you're struggling to control, don't cry, don't blush, you know, be careful how you dress, because if you dress a certain way, a male has a right to put his hands on you. All these, like it's your fault because you dress that way. All those old, old things now are in front of us that I'm kind of glad that we have the opportunity to handle it and put it where it belongs, you know?
Mm-hmm. I am too.
It's been a long time coming.
It's an exciting time for girls. Yeah. And they have a book now to help them through it.
Yeah.
Questions and people actually answering. I love this. I mean, that's, it really is an exciting time. And I school libraries across the country, around the world, and keep us posted on the audiobook. That's going to be fun.
I absolutely will. I think that that would be a lot of fun. And I know that the girls would be so excited to, I mean, they're already so invested in the book because their questions are there. But, you know, it seems to me that the question should be spoken by the girls, you know, and then have somebody have them answered. But yes, I will absolutely keep you posted. I love the idea.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Personal. Yeah.
Hey, you did it in Women's History Month. So,
yeah, you know,
when Nancy started reading this, she says, you know, this book is documenting women's history. It is.
Yeah.
You know? I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. Because all these women with their answers and the questions, it shows where we are today as in womanhood in the workforce. And then it also just shows, you know, what these women leaders are thinking. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to read it like 30 years from now, 30 to 40 years, right? And 100 years.
And then hopefully the girls that ask the questions will then be the women who are answering.
Yep.
You know, 90% of people who are mentored go on to mentor somebody else.
Right.
Awesome.
Is that, you know, integral to their makeup. And so I would love to see someday more epic mentor guides where the girls who originally asked questions are now in leadership positions.
That's cool. Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And the questions, I want to see how the questions change too. Because I like it because it's so specific to their niches and what they want to do. Mm-hmm. That to me, that's really interesting. And mm-hmm. we'll also see what, you know, how the jobs have changed. I mean, it's like what I went to school for and what there is now are like, hello, it's completely different. It's
totally different.
It's like, yeah, who knew that, you know, we'd be doing Zoom calls? I mean, that's not at all. I thought, you know, I'd be at a typewriter still.
Right.
A typewriter.
So, I know. Mm. Well, everyone, again, the Epic Mentor Guide is out March 15th. Of course, you're listening to this earlier. You can pre-order it on Amazon and all those great places, but also go to etregirls.com. That's etregirls.com. You made me learn some French today. So thank you for that. I love that.
Entirely my pleasure.
All right. And also, everyone, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We air daily at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, unless we do our special anniversary radio parties. So thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
You.
It's been a real pleasure, Ilana.
Thank you so much for having me, and happy Women's History Month.
Yeah.
Thank you. You too.